Good morning, boys and girls. Let's turn again to Genesis chapter 4. There we met two brothers, and we noticed that although they were the very first two brothers on the earth, and must have been, therefore, very close as they grew up and played together, yet they were very different. They were very different indeed. We'll read from verse 1 of Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller, a ploughman of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, as I said the last time we were together, and we had just begun to look at this passage, a very interesting passage for a number of reasons. These are two brothers, but who are very different. I'm sure they look different. Who knows? One might have been taller than the other. One might have been broader than the other. I don't really know. But that's not really important. The difference that I want you to notice was in their attitude to the Lord and his attitude to them. One was in one class and another in another class, as far as God was concerned. You know, today, at this very moment, one of those brothers is in heaven, one is in hell. At this very moment, you know, they died a long time ago, but they still exist. Abel is in heaven. Cain is in hell. Abel was the very first human being in heaven. I'm sure the angels must have really had a long look at him. Most excited, we read that the angels study the scriptures in order to work out how it is that God can be just and yet save sinners. How God can be just and yet be merciful to sinners. They couldn't figure that out. And of course, you and I know that God is just and merciful. These two are coupled together because he kept his justice by punishing his son. And he had mercy toward the sinner by accepting the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross as payment for the sinner's guilt. Thus, God was both just and merciful. But the angels, they really couldn't understand how this could be. And therefore, it must have been of great interest when a sinner arrived in heaven. The first sinner arrived in heaven. And of course, he arrived there on the basis of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, these brothers were different. One today is in heaven, and one today is in hell. And we can learn from these differences. I hope we not only learn, but we take note of it carefully, take warning from it. Now, I said that Eve, the mother of these two boys, made a big mistake about Cain. She made a mistake as a mother. I think she had too high an opinion of Cain. Mammies sometimes do that, you know. Oh, my wee boy wouldn't do wrong. My wee boy wouldn't tell lies. My wee boy wouldn't disobey. And my wee daughter, oh, she's just one. She's a wee angel. Just wouldn't do wrong. Mommy is wrong. Mommy is wrong. Because you know, and I know, that in our hearts there's sin. In our hearts there's sin. Disobedience. Telling of lies. Oh, there's all sorts of wickedness in our heart. And Eve foolishly thought too highly of Cain. And I have a notion she spoiled him. I think what he became tells us how he was brought up. It tells us the background of his upbringing. It says here, for instance, that when he was rejected, he was wroth. You see that? Verse 5, he was very wroth, very angry. Bad temper is usually the result of a lack of discipline. We boys and we girls that throw a temper fit and storm and rage and stamp their feet, do you know what they need? Oh, doctors have written books galore on how temper should be treated. But God has written in his book how such behavior should be treated. And do you know the funny thing? It works. It works. But today, because there's a rejecting of what God says, that medicine's not applied, and consequently, when you go with your mommy shopping or your daddy to the store, you will see plenty of little boys and girls suffering from this ailment of misbehavior. All because they just need that ointment applied to the rear end, repeatedly. Well, I think that that's what happened, Cain. And you know, boys and girls, you can see how serious a matter it is when children are not properly disciplined. You can see how serious a matter it is, because children who rage against their mommy and rage against their daddy and are ready to stand up and back chat them, as we would say, talk back to them, and are not dealt with, not rebuked, they'll end up talking back to God. They'll end up talking back to God. Cain was very angry. With who? With God. He raged in his heart against God, because God had not accepted his sacrifice. How dare God? That's what he was saying. That's what he was thinking. How dare God refuse my sacrifice? Boys and girls, God is the judge of all the earth, and the judgments he makes are always right, for God is just and holy and upright. Today we want to go a little further in our consideration, and I want you to notice that although there obviously were many faults in this man Cain, he was very religious. He was very religious. Because we read verse 3, "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." He was religious. And you notice that it was Cain who came first in this religious activity. It would appear that he went to worship God before Abel. At least that's what is implied here. He's mentioned first in his religious activities. Maybe because he was the older brother, that was the way that things were done. The older brother go first. But the point is this. Here's a man who was evil in his heart. That's clear in a moment or two. He was evil in his heart. He had wickedness in it. He had murder in his heart. But still he was very religious. You know, the world is full of people who are very, very religious. Very, very religious. In fact, some of them take more pains, if I might put it like that, about their religious activities than many devout Christians. They go to great lengths as they engage in their religious exercises. There's religions across the world that have set periods of prayer 4, 5, 6 times a day. They have lengthy periods of fasting, and they will engage in their religious activities no matter where they are. I have seen a picture a number of years ago of a Muslim praying, and he was praying on a traffic island in the midst of hundreds and hundreds of vehicles in a very busy part of London. There he was, on this wee traffic island, and his wee mat down and bowing and praying away, and didn't care who was watching. And many Christians would hesitate to publicly declare that they are Christians. That man didn't care. Oh, he was very religious. It was like Cain. Cain took a lead, it would appear, in religious activities. And it says in the verse 3 that in the process of time, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Brought of the fruit of the ground. He brought the wrong offering. It doesn't matter how religious you are, how diligent you are in your religious activities and exercises, if you bring the wrong offering, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. I remember one time, it was the first time, I was heading to America, and I had my suitcase packed, and I had my money, and oh, I was very excited. And off I went, and travelled from this part of the world all the way to the airport. Showed them my ticket, put my bag on the weighing machine, and they said, "Where's your passport?" "Passport? No passport." And my journey was at an end. Didn't matter about the paying of the tickets and the packing of the suitcase and all the rest of it. That's as far as I was going to go, unless I could get my passport. Well, it turned out that they very kindly said, look, we'll let you travel as far as London, but you will not get on the plane for the United States if you don't have your passport. Now, if you can get your passport here, we will forward it on after you. So I got on the phone, got my brother-in-law to go get my passport and then storm up to the airport and give it to them. And I waited as the time ticked away in London, and the passport arrived just in time for me to get on the plane. Listen, boys and girls, it doesn't matter how diligent you are. Doesn't matter how careful you are. If you bring to God the wrong sacrifice, if you're depending on the wrong sacrifice, you will not be accepted. Cain learned that. What sacrifice was Cain relying upon? It says he brought the fruit of the ground. Do you remember what happened to the ground after Adam and Eve had sinned? Well, it says in chapter 3 of Genesis that God cursed the ground. Verse 17 of chapter 3. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. God put a curse on the ground. This earth is cursed. It's cursed. It's under the curse and judgment of God because of the sin of Adam. Cain brought to God that which had God's curse on. You can't imagine God would be pleased with that, can you? Well, the vast, vast majority of people in the world today still do the same. They bring to God that which is under God's curse. The time is gone, almost. So let me just read a verse to you. This is in Galatians, the chapter 3, the verses 10 and 11. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You're under a curse if you don't keep God's law. So if you think, oh, I get into heaven by my good works, your good works are under a curse, except you keep all of the law. If you break the law in one point, then you have broken all of the law. If on the farm the tractor's hitched up to a heavy object and there's a chain there, and the tractor revs up and is pulling, and suddenly, boof, the chain part, and the farmer says, oh, the chain's broken. But actually there's only one link in the chain that's broken. There's a big long bit, perfectly all right. Another big long bit, perfectly all right. But one link had broken. But he was right when he said the chain's broken. One sin, one failure to keep the commands of God, and all is broken. All is broken. We cannot get into heaven by our good works, because we cannot do good works. And Cain thought he could satisfy God by bringing to him the fruit of the ground, that which was cursed. We're under a curse because of our sin. The works that we do, they're cursed. They're displeasing to God because they're wicked. They're imperfect. Boys and girls, don't follow Cain, depending in yourself to get to heaven. Look to God's way. Follow Abel. He brought the lamb. We'll talk about that next time. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank thee that thou art the lamb. Thou art the one who was pictured in the offering brought by Abel. Lord, we believe, we know that when Abel brought the lamb, he was thinking of thee. He was saying to God, this lamb is a picture of the one I am depending upon for salvation. And Lord, you accepted his worship, and Abel is in heaven. Oh, teach the boys and the girls this greatest of all lessons, I pray of thee. Bless the school today, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.